Okay, we're going to get started here. Hello, hello, hello. Hi, Jim. Okay, so we're going to start off with a little slideshow of photos of things that we've been involved in. The purpose of this is not to sit back and reminisce, but just as a reminder of the things that we were involved with. Not all of the events were here. Some of them were outside of the church. So with that, we'll open up in prayer and then get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that you do for us and with us, through us, God. We thank you for the gifts that you give to us, God. We thank you especially for your Holy Spirit, the direction, the wisdom that you provide, God, the opportunity to come before you to ask for these things, God. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, God, because we just recognize that ultimately this is not about us, but it's about you. Lord, we ask that you would bless this time together, lead us in your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to go through this quickly. The school supply collection, which we're going through now, we obviously did a year ago as well. Mackie, the Entertainer, and Inside Out movie, some of these things everyone would have been to, some you may not have attended. The 75-gallon challenge. I'm not sure which gift this is, but I like it. I like it. All right. Okay, working around, fall cleanup. Of course, there's food involved there. Samaritan's Purse, a great annual event. Feed the Funnel. A lot of people were involved, had a lot of fun. Our Christmas Eve candlelight service, and you know the kids are always a big part of that, and it just brings joy to your heart. Faith Walkers, the men's winter retreat, I see groups of like different aged people there. Linwith Rhodes Grace-Based Parenting Conference, Good Friday Seder Supper, that was a lot of fun. Anytime you can get, you know, the historical context of what was going on and what that means to us today, I think it's a great benefit. Soul Satisfaction, that especially a lot of our ladies attended. Joanna said that was just a great time. The Child Dedication, another event that we want to see more of. The Christ Training, Civilian Response to Active Shooter Events. Graduation Sunday. Oh, my goodness. How do these kids grow up so quickly? I don't know. I certainly don't get older. Life Training, LT. Amber's Testimony, which seems like just yesterday. Okay, and now we're going to go over just some monthly events. Maybe. Summer Sunday Picnics. Men's Meeting. Women's Brunch. Euchre Night. There's no money that changes hands on those nights. I just want you to know that. And then our small groups. Yeah, oftentimes there's food involved there, too. Variety of ministries from... I don't know where Andrea got this picture of Andy on the AV team. But obviously there are a lot of places here to serve the infant room. Yes, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What is that? Okay, kick, youth group. I thought they were taking naps. So that was old person's group. Okay, so that's the year in review. And who would we have next?
Nick.
All right, Nick. Come on down.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Careful.
All right, so let's see. I'm going to move the slide here. Okay, so I've been asked to give the finance update for how we've been doing as a church, how we've been doing as a church this year from a financial perspective. So let's just dive right into it. Okay, so from tithes and gifts. Oh shoot, the numbers are kind of small there. So if you can see that, on average this past year, on a monthly basis, we were tithing about $20,000 a month, so per month. So that was really amazing. And what you can see there is the blue line represents from what we did from this year, starting in September and moving through July. So we don't have August yet because, of course, August is next month. So you'll see that line in short there. What you see from last year is our tithing from last year in the red line. So you can see how there was a significant increase this year and how we did. So thank you for your tithing. We believe that that's something we do in an act of worship to our Lord. It's not giving necessarily to the church, but it's giving to God and the mission that he has for the church. And so you guys have been extremely faithful this past year in your giving and your tithes. Additionally, the gifting that we were able to do this year for some different events that we have. This year we didn't have our mission trip to Nicaragua like we normally do, but this year we did have Feed the Funnel. And I just wanted to let you guys know, we raised $2,000 in 5 weeks just for that specifically, so over top of the tithe that was given. So that was pretty amazing, just how quickly we were able to accomplish that goal there. And then also, just on top of that, we had our youth scholarship fund, about $644 given for that. And sometimes that goes towards LT and things like that that we might do for the youth as far as traveling goes and things like that. So, and I don't have the months there specifically on the bottom there, but like I said, they started in September, and you can see, so we have September there, and then October there was a nice jump. And then around December, we get a similar jump. Of course, it helps with end-of-the-year bonuses and things like that, but it's been, you guys have been extremely faithful, and I want to encourage you to continue that in this next year as we continue to give. It's a form of worship and giving back to our Lord. He gives us resources, and that's a way we can thank him, is by giving back to him and his ministry. And so next question is, how do we use that? How do we use those resources that are given in the tithes and things like that? And so what you can see there is we put up what we call a budget. It's not a bad word. It's a fun word. It's a good word because it's a spending plan. So I like Dave Ramsey, if you ever heard of him, he likes to refer to it as a spending opportunity, not a constraining opportunity. So so that's what we do. Every year we come up with a budget, and this was last year's budget, what we expected. So you have over here on the far right, you can see what we budgeted for certain expenses. And I won't read them all to you right off the top. You can read them yourself. And we also budgeted a certain amount of income. So that's over there on the left. And you can see on our actuals column how we did as far as income. And a lot of that was from the tithe that was given this year. You can see how we had a net income this year. It was not negative this year. It was positive. And it was positive $32,000, a little close to $33,000. Okay, and so there were some changes that were made this year as far as how we do payroll and things like that. So I'll let Greg or Doug talk a little bit about that more. If you have more questions about that change that was made, we switched over to Reliant, and we can go into more of that if you have more questions on that. But that was helpful, and also your giving was helpful. So don't look at that and say, okay, this year I don't have to give as much. So no, continue in your prayerfully, faithfully giving how you think you should be. That's what we. It's just you can see, and we can do a lot of neat things with that. So this year we'll have probably some neat things coming up that we can use those resources for. So there you have it. That's where we are as far as expenses for this year. And then next year we'll have a similar budget. We try to figure out what types of things we're going to spend money on for the Lord, for outreach and things like that. So are there any questions? I will do the very best I can to answer them, but I think that's what I have. Greg, would you, yeah, sure. I'll let you handle the questions. How's that sound?
We fill out an online form and we get a rebate from our association. No, actually, for years now, actually, we've had kind of up and down finances, and our association has helped us out by basically, you know, we give 10% to Great Commission Association of Churches, GCC, and then that money goes to, you know, mission stuff, administrative stuff, that kind of thing. But for a number of years now, because we've kind of been struggling financially until this year, they have given us back basically half of that, okay? So we continue to tithe, and they are giving back. Now, with things improving, our plan, as we've talked about as a board, as the we would propose a budget coming up here at the end of August for the next ministry year, is that we'll look at, instead of taking money out of our building fund to pay for utilities, which we've been doing in a number of years, so that we could actually pay for things, we would look to kind of weaning off of that, you know, or setting some kind of metrics by which we would then just pay that back or not pull from it anymore. So we're definitely looking at proposing a budget that would say, well, since we're in a much better place than we were, you know, we need to kind of look at that, you know, and reevaluate that. There was another question. Yeah, so that's just with the Kroger's Rewards program, right? If you sign up for that, and then we get a certain percentage of sales that comes to the church, and that's been used for youth stuff. You had a question? Yeah. Yeah. So Reliant. So just a quick history here. So I think this was almost our second full year that Charlie and I, so they're pastors that are employed here. We are technically employees of Reliant, which is like a missions agency down in Florida. And our association has history with that. That's, it used to be formerly called Great Commission Ministries, now renamed Reliant. And it's basically a service agency. They help collect funds for missionaries. And in our case, we use it as like a payroll service, because we got a better deal on insurance, health insurance. That's the only reason we did that, because we're just a small group here of, you know, two full-time employees and one part-time employee. The cost of insurance kept going up like it is everywhere, and so it was much more affordable to go with them, even with their administrative fees. So Charlie and I's income, so in that number would be salary, insurance coverage, and administrative fees for Reliant, for Charlie and I, totaled together. And then down here under payroll by paychecks, that would be basically, or payroll expenses, that would be Andrea. She is still an employee of the church, and since she's part-time, does not have health insurance through us. And so that's why she's paid through payroll, through paychecks. And we are, Charlie and I, technically employees of Reliant, serving here as ministers. So It was kind of the best way we could find up to continue to, the board wanted to continue to provide health insurance for us. So does that help answer your question? Okay, great, good question, yeah. Yep. I think people are not getting reimbursed. They're not turning in their receipts. So yeah, if you do have some outstanding ones, we would love to take care of that for you. So yeah, I mean, I think that's my guess, is usually, yeah, yep, yep. Yeah, bank charges would, let's see, where is that at? Yeah, so I think that involves a number of things. You know, it involves fees that we pay for online giving, okay, is also wrapped into that. So like if we, anytime we get, and we get some significant gifts in through PayPal, and there is a fee for that. So that's included in that. I think probably 99% of that is there. If there were any charge for, you know, like that would be anything like also if there'd be any charge for a late fee on a credit card, which I don't think we typically have. So I think pretty much, where is that at? Yeah, I think pretty much all of that is basically, again, I'm not drilled down to it on QuickBooks myself, but I just know that I'm pretty sure that's all of the, you know, and that's substantial because we get a lot of, we get percentage-wise, a much larger percentage through electronic giving now than through checks and cash. We still get, I mean, a number of checks in cash, but I'm just saying like percentage-wise of the total amount. And so if you give through QuickPay or through Chase, the what is called Zelle now, we don't pay any fees. But if you give through PayPal, then there is a service fee. There's like a 3%. It's just like using a credit card almost. Okay, good question. All right, so how about this? If we have some time later, we'll answer questions at the end. But we need to keep moving on here. Who's next? Doug.
And questions can be emailed into Pastor Greg anyway, right?
Yep.
All right. Oops, went the wrong direction. Dang it. All right. So please, nobody check out just because it says next gen. All right. So on our website, and every time Nick gets up here during a traditional service, we kind of fit in our mission. Who knows our mission? Off the top of your heads. All right. So we asked the same question in my small group last night. Nobody could remember it. We made up a lot of things that were really good, but nobody could remember it. But our mission is to glorify Christ, God by making disciples who know Christ, grow in Christ, and to keep it simple, show others Christ. It actually says proclaim Christ. But everything that we do here, we hold it up against this mission and say, is this fulfilling our mission? And we actually spend a lot of time as a group of elders saying, is our mission right? So we just retuned that, I think, at the beginning of the last year to simplify it and to make it more clear for us to hold up our services against it. So I want to kind of visualize what this mission looks like. And if you look here at the beginning, at the kernel of every member of Darby Creek is this idea of love for God and his people. And this starts at the home. So anybody who's a father, you know, how are you demonstrating what God is in your life? How are you demonstrating the role of God in decisions and that relationship? And then we also support that with KICK. So KICK, you guys saw the logo earlier, that actually is a acronym for Kids in Christ Kingdom. And that ministry is probably close to 12 to 15 years old now. And we've done really cool things. And they're not only teaching children the major stories of the Bible, but also getting them more involved as participants, so that when they become older and they're sitting in here, they become active in the love for God's Word. And that means sitting in here listening to what's going on there. So this idea of to know Christ is covered by, you know, the love of God and his people and then the love for his Word. And then when we talk about grow in Christ, that's applying his Word, his love, and his people to my life. So you heard Greg talking earlier just in today's message about the purpose of our gifts is to apply those to the church and then also be served by others' gifts. So that's how we grow in Christ. And then the last part I'd like to kind of show graphically is how do we show others Christ? So we apply his Word, his love, and his people to his mission for me. So what is my mission? What am I to be doing in this planet for the glory of God? So if we take these ideas and go back to the same model here, like I said, so the family and KICK is where we begin this idea of love for God and his people. When we talk about the idea of love for his Word, it's active participation in Sunday's ministry. So whether that's sitting in here and being a good student of the word that's being preached? Are we taking good notes? Are we demonstrating to the younger students that are in here how to take notes and to make that a meaningful part of church, right? And then afterwards, when we're, I love Deuteronomy 6, and you read in there, and the scriptures say, as you walk along the road or as you sit at home, talk about the things that God has done. So do you go back as a family and talk about what's going on there? Our youth group and small groups, and we saw the thing about faith walkers, come into play when it's talking about growing in Christ. So if you haven't been to Faith Walkers, please consider it. I know Julie and I are planning on going. We're going to take at least Sarah and Shelby with us, and they're excited about that. It's a great way to meet other members of Great Commission Church, and again, to really experience the bigger church, right? So Darby Creek, we're actually a middle-sized church for Great Commissions, but you start running into pastors and other people from around the country, and we have a good time fellowshipping there. Small groups, you saw Skip showing some of the groups that we have. Please get involved quickly. You know, as the summer winds down, think about, hey, what's a good group for me to get back involved with, what fits with my life? I lead a Saturday night group called Signal Fire. We meet for dinner. We sing together. We do a little bit of a study, and then we pray together. And we pick that time, number one, because that worked out for mine and Julie's schedule the best. But also, with it being that time on a Saturday, there's still time afterwards to go do things together or with other people. And also still enough time to do your Saturday stuff. When it comes to small groups, I did want to share a story with you guys, and it's actually wrapped up in an email here to a guy named Bob Tissett. And I wrote this to Bob last year. Hey, Bob, just wanted to send you a note of congratulations on 60 years of ministry for Bear Lake Bible Camp. Some of my favorite life memories are summer and winter camps there. I will be 50 next year. I'm 50 now. And the impact of the Bear Lake Bible Camp staff and Bob and volunteers like yourself and Jim Wagner has had a lifelong impact. Those times in 84 and 85 solidified my desire to help young people hang tough with their Christianity. I'm now an elder of my church, and I work with the youth and young adult ministries. Some of my own children now serve in children's ministry, and through Bear Lake Bible Camp's fostering of good worship, have picked up my love for music to lead worship, and they're involved with worship at church and annual conferences. I'm also mentoring a couple of elder candidates. I simply share that with you to encourage you to press on, coach the staff and counselors to get personal with students, and continue to preach the truth and love. And Bob was not a superhero. He was kind of goofy. We had the song, one of the lines was, yeah, Bob Tissett can really kiss it. I mean, that's a level of respect we had for him. But this guy would just sit and listen to us and hear about our lives and understand that his experience as a young person was different than our experience as a young person. And certainly today, young people's experience are different than our experiences were as young people. And we're really looking for more people, more adults that would be interested in being a part of youth group, not necessarily to take on the challenge of lifting the message that we need to teach each time or the activity we're going to do, but just come and listen. And when we talk about next generation, that's what we mean is, what will you do next for the generations? Will you reinvent yourself? We've also decided as a board, we're going to invest. You saw that last year our budget was about $800 for youth group, and we haven't actually spent all that. We've spent a lot of it, but we didn't turn in receipts. But we're going to move in a new way very soon, and we'll talk about that at a later time, what we're going to do with youth group, and really make that after Sunday services, youth group is our next biggest investment that we're going to do as a church. And that's my two-minute warning. So I'm really excited about that, but we're really going to take youth group seriously. We're going to get more involved in the community as well as really invest more in the students that already come here. And then when it comes to show, we've got life training. We just got back Friday. Jacob was my fellow chef this week, so we worked in the kitchen, had a lot of good stuff. We had three students go with us. I was looking back, the first time I went in 2010, we had 18 students and adults with us. So something's going on. We've definitely had some changes here in the birth rate at Darby Creek, so that's part of it. But we have that next generation coming. We've got, you know, right now we have 10 regular attenders back there in KIC, and they'll soon be up in the LT range. We also have the mission. So Greg will talk about that in a little bit later. What are we going to be doing as a church for missions? And then just general leadership training. GCLI stands for Great Commission Leadership Institute. Currently have four guys that are completing that, and it is four guys. But one of the things we also discovered back in January when we were doing our strategic plan is we need to invest more in women's leadership. So you'll hear more about that coming along over the next year as we get more effective in that. So side by side, what do these things all look like? We've really put a lot of effort into how do we take that mission, how do we apply it to our church, and really take this church forward to that next generation. So when it comes to next generation, this is where I was asking everybody, please don't check out. I drive a Ford. In fact, all of our cars at our house are Fords. We just are a Ford family. But Ford's been around since 1903. And it is an old company. But each year, they revitalize themselves. They are the next generation of themselves. And everybody that's in this room today are a very important part of this church body. And we ask that everybody think about, what's that next generation of you going to look like? How can you get more involved, not only in helping our Sunday missions and ministries, but growing the younger folks? What can they learn from your experience? I just spent some time with Caleb Miller when we were down in Wilmington talking about his future and sharing some insight that I might have on the kinds of things that he might be liking, and also my observations of him. What might his future involve? And also encourage him about the great work ethic that his dad has. And his own love for intellect like Luke has, and just really trying to lift him up and encourage him. So with that, what questions do you have for me? Perfect.
Okay, so I'm going to be talking about outreach for my portion of this. And, you need the controls. So I'll just start with a recap of what's been going on. And you can go to that first slide with the map. Okay, we still purchase names and addresses of everyone that moves into the blue area there every month. The blue arrow is where our church is. And what we do first with those is we send them this mailer. You can go to the next slide and show them the mailer. It's a little postcard outreach to them. And then the back side, he's got there some information on the church. So we send that out. Then a few weeks later, I drive out to their home and give them this gift pack, which has got a Tom Short book, five questions, and a little note from our church. So the Tom Short's book is five common questions that people ask about Christianity and about faith in general. You might call it objections, but he's just answering those and showing people how, you know, it's not devoid of reason or logic that intelligent people believe in God and follow Christ. And the important thing is there that Tom's book also has his testimony in it, how he came to Christ, and a gospel presentation. So we're getting that out. And as I'm going there, I'm attempting to talk to people. I knock on their doors, say hello, ask them about their spiritual interests and background, and just kind of give them a plug for Darby Creek and invite them to come out. So the last 12 months, I've visited around 730 different homes, given them this packet. That's about 60 a month. And you would think our church would be quadrupled in size by now, right? But honestly, it's difficult to get people to come from kind of a cold call like that. Back in the day, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when we started, that kind of thing worked really well. It's difficult these days, but I still feel like it's important just that we have some avenue to kind of get the gospel message to the masses that are around here. For all the people that are not going to church anywhere, or some of the people that may never come to church, I think it's good that we always have a way to kind of get the gospel to them. So, like I say, we planted 730 of Tom's books in those households. Hopefully they'll end up on a shelf somewhere if they're not read immediately, and someone will read them at some point. And they each one has a sticker inside with our church information too. So if they throw out our little note to them, they'll still have a connection point. Okay, so next slide. Currently, I'm working on an updated version of our little tract, our little pamphlet, because we're almost out of them. We're due for a reprint. I wanted to kind of update the look of that and get our new logo in there. And I'd like to include one of those in each of the new mover packets so that if people aren't taking the time to read Tom's book, they will have kind of a short version. And I can point them to that question, you know, what does it take for imperfect people to get to heaven? Okay, so that is going to continue. Also this year, I need a drink, started a meetup group called the West Side Blues Jam. And it meets here at the church. It's just a fun thing for musicians to come and play. And there is a lot of interest. 126 members online said that they're interested in doing this. Not all of those come, but so far we've had two jams right here in our sanctuary. We had the first one, we had 6 people from outside the church, and the second one we had 5 people from outside the church. So a few of our band members have joined in. We've had a good time. I've been able to get together with a couple of those guys outside of that and do some things one-on-one, or do a thing one-on-one. One of them's interested in coming to church. So just an example of building relationships, you know, with people that are unbelievers. Everyone wants to do this more, you know, so I tell my wife, honey, I've got to play more guitar. I've got to learn more blues songs, you know. It's for the Lord. And she sees through that, but she lets me play anyway. But seriously, with that, I want to encourage you all to find ways to be building relationships with unbelievers. If you're a person like I was and all my friends were Christians, then something maybe needs to change there. This is kind of my avenue for doing that, but think of what you can do yourself, whether it's play dates if you have kids, or euchre clubs, or whatever, having neighbors over for pizza or bonfires or whatever. And also, if you are looking for something, this website, meetup.com, I've talked about it before, it's not a dating site, it's for activities. So if you're into knitting, there's probably a meetup group that gets together and knits, you know. And you could even, and if there's not, you could start one and you could hold it here and get people to come. Or if you're into rock climbing or bike riding or whatever, just to have a connection point. And the nice thing, too, is that in a lot of cases, someone else has organized it. You can just show up and meet people. So there's a plug for that. Okay, so we're also going to continue with the school supply outreach. That's the next slide, which you know about, partnering with our neighbors to help Brown Elementary. And it's really not just about the kids and the school supplies. It's also about that connection with our neighbors. We're getting the 800 bags out, inviting 800 households to join us, just so that they know we're here, they see our name, they know we're trying to do some good in the community is a positive thing. Okay, so new ideas for this coming year. I found this great idea for like a evening church service that's outside and everyone can bring their dogs, but it didn't get any votes from the other elders, So we came up with some other things and said there's a Go Sunday idea, which we stole. And basically this is, I'm sorry, what did somebody say? Oh, yeah, stealing. Yeah, we always steal ideas. Greg gave us a huge list of outreach ideas, which was awesome. So what we do with Go Sunday is approach a few of our neighbors, see if they would like some free mulching, some free planting of flowers, maybe even planting of trees. Frank noticed that some of the new neighbors here that are building houses have no trees. So he's a, you know, landscaping design expert, and he could figure out what might be nice. And we could plan that work, sign up a specific number of neighbors that where we could handle the work and plan the projects. And then on a Sunday in May, rather than coming here for the normal church service where we sing and hear a message, we would come here with our work boots on, and rather than have church, we would go out and serve our neighbors and do these projects that would kind of be pre-planned. So, and for those who can't do yard work, we'll find some supporting roles for you. Maybe you could bake some goodies that we could give to the people, or keep the teams hydrated, or give us prayer support. But we'll find some roles for everyone. The last idea for this year is a teacher appreciation outreach. This is where we would just coordinate with a local school, find a time where we could take pastries and fruit and coffee for the faculty and staff to bless them. So you can add a little note that says, Darby Creek Church loves the faculty and staff at such and such a school, and just be a way to serve and bless them. And the bus drivers, yeah, you count as staff. That's right, yeah, and we could do that in more places. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and it's an easy thing to do, you know, it really is. So that's everything. I've got a summary page here. So we can continue the New Mover outreach, add the new tracks, make the West Side Blues Jam more regular, do it on a quarterly basis, continue with school supply outreach, do the Go Sunday and the teacher appreciation. All right, so that's me, and I think now it's Greg's turn.
Yeah, question. It'll be in the proposed budget. Yes.
Yes, the proposed.
But just because we haven't passed it yet, so it's either that or it's coming out of Charlie's pay. I'm not sure which one it was. Oh, and I have a lovely assistant, Frank, who's joining me. Come on, Frank. Yeah, question. Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah, just for the recording, the question was like what percentage of people were home that Charlie dropped those 730 bags off to? There was about 1 in 5, you said, right? Okay. Always leave it as a door hanger. That's good. That's awesome. That's great. So, you know, I wanted to make a connection too with what Doug shared as well, in that, you know, there was this talking about next gen ministry, that kind of thing. Well, one of the things that we had spent time as an elder board this last year was reading a book, trying to get us thinking about how good of a job are we doing at handing this thing off. In other words, the ministry, whatever ministry areas we're in, are we doing a good job at mentoring and being ready to pass that baton off to someone else? Not necessarily meaning that you're ready to retire from ministry or whatever, but just that there's someone in line there that you're training. And so that is really on our mind a lot, and fits in too with just the whole kids ministry, youth ministry, but just every ministry. Thinking about am I having someone that I'm helping mentor to kind of be able to share this load with me, or take it over when either I'm not able to or whatever. And I'm thinking the same thing in preaching too. So, which is why this year we're going to see more of a regular rotation in our preaching. It's not just going to be me up here 90% of the time. That percentage will be less. We're going to have Doug and Nick more in the rotation, because I think that's a part of us, training up people to whether it's to plant another church, because I know some of these guys have church planting aspirations. or whether it's just to be part of any kind of a succession plan years down the line. You know, we need to be thinking about that, not when the year before you're ready for it to happen. So, anyway, what I want to talk about and share with you is I just have a couple of quick kind of announcement type things that's future. And I wanted to mention here about the missions trip to Managua. You know, every other year our church partners with a Great Commission church down there in Managua, Nicaragua. If you have your ear to the ground and have watched news, at least I know in CBS it has a little bit of coverage here lately. It is interesting that you don't get a lot of coverage on this, but it has made national news a couple of times recently with the political unrest there, particularly in the city of Managua, which is where we go, but mostly downtown in an area called Masaya, and that's where some protesters have been killed and so on. It's interesting. I watched the news coverage last night. Of course, they were talking to some governing official, and they were saying, they're saying that there's been like X number of people killed, and he's like, oh, no, it's more like 10, and so you can see this kind of veneer that's trying to be put on. And so I'm bringing this up because, A, we still want to take a trip down there, Lord willing, and we do submit it to him in June, hopefully, of next year. But we need to pray that things would calm down and get in order there. So probably towards the end of the fall, we'll kind of have a date picked out. We can even go into fundraising mode. But Frank was with us. He went to the pastors' conference up in Minnesota this year. We sat down with a lunch with the people that helped plan our trips from Great Commission Latin America, and we asked a lot of questions about what's going on there and all that. And they told us that, listen, basically up until the point where we actually buy our plane tickets, we should just plan on a trip. Because the way it works is we do fundraising and there are certain deadlines that hit. One of the deadlines is this is the day your tickets get purchased. So up until that date, we can plan on a trip. And then once we approach that date, we will then do some, conversations with GCLA and say, are things changed such that we can actually take a safe trip down there? Because I know this summer there were some trips planned down there and they put them on hold. Right, so they know what the situation is. They will not knowingly put us in danger, that kind of thing. So please pray that we can go down there, Lord willing. Please pray that things get pray for the protection of our churches down there and other people, that peace would prevail. That's really important right now. It's really kind of crazy. All right, and then are you going with us? No pressure. No. Yeah. Amber, yes. Just put that in there a little. Your wife's looking a little nervous. Another quick. it's not India. It's not like, it's only like a 3-hour flight. I mean, it's nothing. So I knew, do it. Yes. sorry, Frank. I just had to do that because you're sitting there. Now you're wondering why you agreed to this. So just another quick announcement. On September 9th here, David Hoppler, who's pictured on the left, some of you know his dad pictured on the right, John Hoppler, he's going to come and do a photo shoot for us during the service, okay? Why? Because we want to update our website, and we want to use some pictures and video on social media, and he's the guy to do it. So we're having him come. Service will be as normal. And so he'll get pictures of people coming in the building, video of all the stuff, children's ministry in here. So what we're asking people to do, and I'll be getting the word out, is please make a special effort to be here that Sunday. I hope you would make that effort anyway, but, attendance ebbs and flows. I did do a little bit of analysis, and the second Sunday is a good Sunday for us. I've figured out that it's usually one of our highest attendance Sundays of the month. I don't know why, it just is. So this is the second Sunday. All right, so try to be here. We just want to try as we take photos and video that, this is to help us let people know about our church. I mean, we want to update our website. It's something you want to do on a regular basis, as well as for our social media purposes. Okay? All right, now, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what some of the purposeful plans I'm making for our Sunday sermon series, okay? There's two categories of series I'm looking at doing this year, all right? And one is what you would call a reaching series, and there will be three of them. Reaching series meaning these series are specifically designed to for you to invite somebody to. Now, you should feel free to invite people to church every week. All right, you know, the Word of God has an effect. We preach the gospel here all the time. You know, so that's not the issue. It's just a matter of we're going to try to do some topical series. Three different times this year that will have an overlap in the meeting of needs of believers and unbelievers. One is on relationships from Proverbs, and I'm going to start that on September 9th. So that day that you're going to be here when the photo shoot is happening. By the way, I'm going to try to see if we can get an all-church photo in that day. Wouldn't that be cool? All right? So, you know, that way in the year 2099, they can look back and see our faces. You know. when we're all up there, you know. Anyway. I don't know what that date is. September 9th. Yeah, that's it. Yes. So anyway, so we're going to do a relationship series there on using Proverbs on September 9th, starting that day. And then we'll have a Christmas series starting December 2nd. And then April 21st, which is actually when Easter is, we'll do an Easter series. These three times, these three segments of the year, we will, weeks before, be making a concerted appeal to you to have some invitations, some things that you would like to invite your friends and family to. Okay? Now, interspersed among these reaching series, I'm calling it, we'll have some developing series, which are, you know, just meant to kind of grow us in our faith, help us to get to know God, you know, challenge us in our faith, if you will. One of the things I know we're going to do, you know, usually at the first of every year, we try to encourage people, you know, to get into some kind of a Bible reading plan if they don't have one. This year we did the Gospel of Matthew. Well, several years ago we did one. Do you remember the Essential Jesus? Do you remember doing that? Where we hit on a number of passages in the Gospels to learn about the life of Christ, right? This year, the same ministry, which is called Scripture Union, has another one called The Essential Question. I think I've misworded it up here. The Essential Question. And the essential question is basically, what do I do with my life in a sense of, you know, how does God want me to live? Okay? And it's going through the book of Acts. Going through the book of Acts in 10 weeks. All right? So my plan is, I'm not going to preach through the entire book of Acts. What I'll be doing is in January is I'll get us on the reading plan. I'll do like four or five messages on the book of Acts and then kind of take the plane off and you can continue the reading plan from there. Okay, there'll be resources that you can order. That we'll have a form that you can order some of this book from. It's a daily devotional, just like the Essential Jesus. Okay, so that's one. Then in February, I'm going to start a series on the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I'm just excited about this. It's about just the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Whether it's, you know, the different aspects of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, or just, you know, how we can you know, follow His promptings and leadings. Just there's a lot of things there, okay? And so I'm digging in into study right now on this topic, so I'm very excited about it. So just be pray, you know, pray. I hope you do pray for me on these things, okay? We're doing the planning, but we need, you know, I need God to kind of work in me too. So there's that. And then another developing series is some book of the Bible yet to be determined that we're going to go through. Okay, I really am a big proponent of going through books of the Bible, and so you could pray for me that we would kind of land on one that is kind of what we need. So I just have not convinced on what that is right yet, and so but we will have a book of the Bible. So these are the two different categories of series. They're kind of spaced out. I sent Doug and I think Charlie, like, I've got a big spreadsheet with every Sunday on there and all the different holidays and when we're blocking these in. And like I said, you know, we're going to try to, my goal is here is to have Doug and Nick more in a regular rotation up here preaching. Okay. And there's another selfish reason for that. It's really challenging to speak every week. Okay. And to try to do your best when you're doing other things. That's not a complaint. That's just a reality. So if there's a little more space for the planning and preparation, I think the Lord will bless that. Okay, so that's another. So it's a training. It's training up others, giving others people, you guys to have. You know, when each of us preach, we have varying effects and different things the way God uses us. So that's a benefit to everyone, right? So so just pray for that as well. Yeah. You know, it'd probably be more like 4 or 5 weeks. Yep, exactly. That's a good question. The question was, how long are the reaching series? So they're not going to be like going through the book of the Bible type of length, but yeah, probably 3 to 5 weeks would be the idea. Yep, good question. All right, so the other thing I wanted to talk about here was just simply, you know, I hope that we're never at the place where we just think we've got it all down. Right, and we want to make our Sunday service, you know, our worship time, our message, the ministers we have here, to be the best they can possibly be with the gifts God has given us. Okay, it'll never be perfect, but we want to. That's why I kind of have up here making good things better. You know, I think we're thankful with what we have, but we just want to continue to make it better. Some of the things that we changed up this year, this past year, was we kind of adjusted our time here. We shortened the length of the service just a little bit. I think maybe the average service time was about 45 minutes, whereas maybe it was maybe 55 minutes before, something like that. We put donation boxes back here rather than passing the basket, to kind of not feel people, not to have visitors feel pressure to give and that kind of thing. And as you can see, it did not affect the giving. So we're thankful for that. And then we changed the way we do announcements. We have that postcard. We don't do bulletins anymore. We've saved a boatload of money, by the way, a boatload of money from our monthly budget. Okay, it's great. And so I know that takes some adjustment and actually takes some intentionality on your part. That if you want to see all the announcements, you got to go online and click the announcement button. But it does really it helps us. It has helped our bottom line, just to say. And then we have a cafe over here, which, Frank, thank you for helping us kind of, you know, just kind of gives a nice feel when you come in, you know, where we get your coffee and stuff like that. It used to be kind of stuck back in the corner over here, which was okay, you know, but it's a lot nicer place to come into and so on. So I appreciate Frank's effort.
That takes care of that too,
huh? Yeah, the refreshments, yeah. And so on with Andrea and her crew. So, and then we changed up the order of service a little bit, which, by the way, we'll probably have a little variety to that. I know we got some feedback from some of our younger folks and said, hey, we'd like to mix it up a little bit every now and then. And so we kind of heard that response and so on. So I think we're going to try to mix it up a little bit on Sunday mornings. Now, this year, this is not the only thing we're focusing on Sunday morning, but I did want to highlight this, is that we're going to try to improve and just be more conscious of safety and security here during the service, okay? During the service. And so some of you may or may not know, but we had a deputy sheriff come in to talk with our elders during one of our meetings. I think it was maybe during one of our GCI meetings, because I think Andy was here and so on. And so we had him walk around the building and talk about security with us. And so he gave us some suggestions on how to make the building a little more secure, and so on. And so one of those, and actually that was the very first thing he said when he came in this room, he says, those doors have got to change. Okay, very first thing he said. He says, you've got all that glass, everybody can see in here, and it's usually because we don't have a lobby, okay? That's the thing. We walk right from there into where everybody's at. So he said, I would suggest putting in some nice-looking doors, but that have a lot less glass and have a little tiny window or something. So we're going to do that, all right? And Frank has been tasked with the doors, okay? So Frank, he's like the utility guy, man. I mean, he's just, you know, you could put him in at first base, left field, right field, pitcher. So we love you, Frank. You like that? Yeah. So Frank's on the door hunt. He's probably going to talk to Ray, I'm sure, get his input too. We talked about that. Ray's already on it. Sweet. That's awesome. See, so we need to double your pay, man. That's good, man. All right. So anyway, that's one thing we can do. And we don't want everybody here thinking that, we're afraid that something really bad's going to happen. We just want to be proactive, okay? We want to be smart, that kind of thing. And so the other thing that fits with this is we're going to have a safety and security team in place by September here. All right, there's two sides to that, obviously, safety, security. Safety involves kind of like fire safety, medical safety, you know, and so we'll have a handful of people on that team, and I know that Paul Edelfritz already does help us out, make sure that we're always in compliance with our exit signs and our and all that stuff. And that'll continue, but also just, you know, do we have the proper first aid kits in the proper places? Do we have some people that has some level of training on hand that if we needed to handle things before EMS people got here, that that could happen? That's one of the reasons why we're doing the CPR training here. We want more people trained in here. You know, so that's the safety side, okay? And then the security side is basically just during the service, we'll have a couple people just that are on watch. They're just keeping an eye out, and just one of the things we're going to do for that is we're adding more outdoor cameras. Okay, I mean, with the technology the way it is today, we can sit a person over here with an iPad and they can see all five cameras all at the same time. Okay, while still actually being a part of things, or they might go out and walk around or something. So, it's just being proactive again, and the purpose for that again is just to kind of keep a watch out. That's all. All right, and that's something that's pretty simple. It doesn't take a lot of people to do. Okay, so there's more to it than that, but that's the gist of it. We'll have a safety and security team, and these people that we'll have in place here, they will, I've already mentioned some of this stuff, they're going to have some training that will help them. Either it'll be people that already have the expertise and training for it, like in the medical field or whatever, or people that have some training in terms of, well, we have some people have training in terms of law enforcement and military and that kind of thing. So, how can we utilize their skills to help us make it a safer place or a safe place? Okay. So that is something that we are going to be doing this year. And so you can be praying for that. And so those are things that probably, you know, you wouldn't see. They're behind the scenes type of thing, but things that, you know, if we don't have them in place, you know, we have an emergency, then we're going to wish we had type of thing. So we're just trying to be good, you know, to be thoughtful about things. Okay. All right. Now, Frank has some plans.
We have plans?
No. Actually, Frank, poor Frank, I haven't given you the mic here. I'm not sure. He's really, really good, isn't he? He's probably glad I'm not giving it to him. But Frank has been a really good addition to our board, you know, serving as a deacon in a lot of different ways. But one of the ways is, and I don't know why I never got this when we were married. When we were, but we are not that kind of church, all right? When we were roommates. Sorry. Just did that record? Can we edit that out? Sorry. But Frank, man, he is a planner. Okay, like he and so he wants to know how things are going to fit together. So what I really appreciated, because some of us are just like, do it. You know, Frank's like, well, how does that fit in with the plan? I'm like, I don't know. I guess we got to get one. So when we talked about building and the use of the facility and how do we accommodate more people, if we experience some growth, that kind of thing, we don't really have a plan. And so, or how do we, if we want to reconfigure the space to better fit for what we have and our ministry needs, something like that, how do we do that? So Frank's been a good proponent of us saying, we got to have a plan. So this year is kind of a year where a portion of our meetings, Frank's going to keep us on point, all right? So you can thank Jesus for Frank. He's going to help us try to start to sketch some things down so we have a plan moving forward with building use. And try to, you know, how do we make more space for people in here, that kind of thing. Okay? Yeah, to serve the ministries as well. So that's awesome. So thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. Yeah. All right. Let me just say this in closing here. And whenever they say that, it doesn't mean 15 more minutes, okay? I promise. But I'm just saying there's some things that are on my mind that I want you to, I'm giving a lot of things to pray for. I hope you do pray for them, okay? But one of them that is this. I really feel like, and as elders, we talked about this a couple of years ago. But what's on my heart is to try to see what we can do this year about sitting down with each of you. We talked about this as elders before. sitting down with each of the families and households represented here, talk about how your walk with God is going, talk about what your needs are, see how we might be able to spur you on in your faith and your growth and be an assistance in that. That's shepherding, okay? And that's one of our hats as elders. So don't be surprised if you get a phone call that says, you know, hey, we'd like to sit down with you. Could we come over or go out for lunch or something and just sit down and chat? And maybe we'd come away with some prayer requests and maybe some ideas for you and your walk with the Lord, that kind of thing. So that wasn't part of the thing here, but it's something that's on my mind because in Colossians 1:28, it definitely talks about how we need to kind of help people mature in their faith. And sometimes I know I need this. I need the little shot in the arm, or I guess that's, is that my arm? Throw it in the arm, you know, to spur me on, or iron sharpens iron. We were talking about the other day, Steve, right? And just, you know, we need that little bit because sometimes we can get into coasting mode, right? Or sometimes you don't feel comfortable expressing something, you know, in a meeting or something, and you want to share it with us, you have the opportunity to do that, okay? And secondly, this is another thing. My fellow elders are probably going to kill me. There's the things that just I've been thinking about. I'm trying to think about, and I have some ideas, but I'm not ready to kind of like throw it out there quite yet. Something that would kind of come alongside our small group ministry, okay, that would help people be more intentionally discipled on a one-on-one or two-on-one thing. I've got some ideas because, you know, a small group provides a really good environment to get to know people, and there's a certain level of growth that happens there. But then I think there's almost another, and we share this in our membership class, how you know, there's also kind of some one-on-one mentoring or discipling or two-on-one, three-on-one, and I'd like to see some more of that happening. And I'd like to kind of equip and train some people on that. Steve's actually been doing that. He's my silent partner over here. He's been doing that with some guys, and I feel like it's been really encouraging. Some of you have had experience doing that in the past. So the reason I was thinking this is because, you know, our class system, the classes and all that, on reflecting upon that, I think those are fine things. I don't think it works well in a small church. Like, for example, it works great in a big church where you've got a lot of people coming in and kind of going, and so it kind of is a way to get them, you know, kind of some basics down. In a small church, I mean, you know, I have two people show up in a class that you offer, like maybe whatever. To me, it makes sense to kind of push it down into discipleship. Okay? That's kind of what I was thinking. So anyway, all right? Yeah.
I forgot to mention that KIC is getting split into two groups again.
Okay. KIC is getting split into two groups, preschool toddler-ish, right? Is that right? And then the more to come. It's getting split. Don't quote me on that. It's getting split, but we don't know when. Okay. All right. I am done. All right. So let's pray. Thank you for your patience. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for, we look back on the things that you used our church to do, and to even thinking about helping out the church on Como there with their outreach, with the gallon bags and so on, and the school supplies and just different fellowship activities. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have in you, in Jesus Christ, the common bond that we have. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for the finances and how they've really turned around this year. And we know that's you. And we pray that you'd help us to be good stewards of those and for the plan moving forward. Lord, we do submit all these things to you as we have all along and ask for your guidance and your help and your grace, Lord. We help us to be faithful, continue to be faithful to the gospel, and to be stewards, good stewards of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you do happen to have questions, whatever, that you didn't get in here, you can feel free to come up and ask or shoot me an email later this week, okay? Thanks for hanging around, you guys. Appreciate it. God bless.